Welcome to episode 6 of All Talk No Balk. It is your two favorite podcast hosts of baseball. I am Heather.
And I'm Charles.
Hello, Charlie, Chuck,
Chuckster. How's it going, Heather? You doing good over there?
I'm doing great. It's been another crazy week of baseball, but we're not going to talk about much of that today, unfortunately, but not unfortunately. There's a silver lining to all of this episode because it is our very first interview with a very exciting guest that you'll see in a few seconds. We're very excited to have him. We recorded the interview before this intro, so he was great, and he even stays on for your take, our take. So he was awesome with his time. You guys will learn a lot about what he does and how it differs from maybe other people in a similar position. And we're thrilled to be able to share this. So without further ado, yeah, let's do it.
We'd like to welcome Mr. Craig Warzetka to the podcast. He's a very special guest that we're having join on today. He joined the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2015 and became the assistant GM of the Marauders in 2017. In addition to overseeing the sales for the Pirates and for the Marauders, the Pirates in spring training, he has played a pivotal role in the daily operations of Letcom Park, which is the host of the Bradenton Marauders. So we are happy to have Craig on the podcast, and we're happy that he was able to give us his time today. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, and thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Great. So let's just jump in here to the questions that we have, because we have many. So how have you been spending your time since COVID, first of all? And since the minor league system was canceled, the minor league season, forgive me, was canceled, we want to know how have you been keeping busy?
Well, it's been a very crazy, interesting, challenging year, to say the least. You know, I look at it, kind of went through and continue to really to go through multiple phases of this year. So we're pretty much right in the thick in the midst of spring training when everything got canceled and really the whole sports world was basically turned upside down or put on pause, right, in mid-March. So from there, you know, it was focusing on, we were in the middle of a spring training game. So it was kind of some immediate stuff of, okay, how do we kind of quickly wrap up spring training?
Right.
You know, from our ticket standpoint and working with our partners, et cetera, our staff. Quickly transitioned to working from home. I think about a week after that last game was, or spring training was suspended. So we worked from home for probably 2 months or so, kind of losing track of the timeline of all of it. It kind of seems like a blur, but transitioned to working from home. So then that's when, you know, we really, started doing a lot of the Zoom calls with our staff and kind of getting adjusted to work from home life, something I probably never really expected to be doing, especially in our role and, you know, working at the ballpark and having games. You know, working from home wasn't really something I ever really considered. So we did that. And, you know, really at that point, you know, we knew the minor league season was going to be delayed, but we thought at some point we'd be having a minor league season. So kind of the plans shifted from, okay, we're not going to be having opening night on April, I think, 9th, as we expected, but right, it's going to be pushed back maybe a month, maybe two, not sure. So what do we do with our promotions and things of that nature? You know, as we went on, you know, we shifted to doing a lot of social media stuff and virtual events. We did a virtual faith night, virtual events with our season ticket holders. Again, kind of shifted to, okay, what can we do to stay engaged with our fans and stay engaged with the community, really virtually and digitally and online, because that's really our only, quite frankly, our only option. But our main focus has been, let's stay in touch with people. Let's stay top of mind, stay relevant. And then I believe it was end of June, July 1st, that the minor league season was canceled. So then we then pivoted to, okay, let's touch base with all of our ticket holders. Let's, you know, talk with them about the credit process for next year, refunds, et cetera. Talk with all of our partners, we should continue to do that. So like I said, it's been a lot of phases as things have changed over these last few months.
Definitely. Wow. It's a roller coaster.
Yeah, you've definitely been impacted a lot, Craig, and I'm sure the Marauders have as well. They were lucky to get you of early last year as their GM, and you were their assistant for a while. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering how going from assistant to GM, how that impacted your operations as a minor league GM and what new challenges came about with that?
Yeah, so, you know, like you said, I was pretty fortunate to kind of quickly transition from being really in ticket sales to being assistant GM in kind of a pretty short period of time, and then GM. But, you know, I had about 2 full years as assistant GM, so I think I was prepared enough for, you know, kind of the jump in and take the reins last year. You know, one of the things that was challenging was I transitioned right around basically right at the beginning of spring training. So I didn't really have that full kind of off season preparation. I kind of jumped right in the fire. So last year was, you know, a challenging year just with kind of getting my bearings and just kind of learning as I go. Although I was, you know, you're exposed to a lot of things, but until you're in the shoes, there's certain things you don't really necessarily know or figure out until you're actually in it. So, right. You know, that was last year, and then we had a really good off season. I was really excited about what this year was going to bring, and then unfortunately, you know, having no season, it's been a challenge. But you know, try to continue to stay positive and look ahead now to 2021.
Yeah, I'm sure no matter how much you learn, Craig, there's always stuff you have to learn by doing hands-on. And I appreciate you going into that. You know, a lot of GMs keep it kind of private, but it was really enlightening to see like how you made that transition. And that's awesome.
So on a related note, what do you think has been your biggest learning experience as a minor league GM or really throughout any part of your career? In terms of maybe working with the players and seeing them progress through the system?
So, you know, being a minor league GM is really, really my responsibility is everything off the field and outside the lines and the business side of things. So, you know, I see things more so through the lens of, you know, trying to generate more fans to come to our games, retain the fans that we currently have. You know, what are we doing, you know, in terms of the community relations, community engagement, impact, what are we giving back, you know, right. Corporate partners and those types of things. So, you know, there's a lot of different challenges that go along with a season. You know, it's a lot of different, you know, wearing different hats and things like that. You know, a lot of challenges that come along with those types of things. But you know, overall, it's a good role and something I'm excited about continuing once we get back to some sort of normal.
Right, right.
Yes, it's very interesting to see how COVID has impacted this season. And I was wondering, how will you use what you have learned from this and in the past moving forward in order to attract fans back into the stands and to attract, you know, a new generation as well?
Yeah, Charles, I would say a lot of it has been, you know, it's really forced us to, I'll say the word pivot again, because we really had to pivot multiple times. Mm-hmm. You know, in a normal season, especially for us when we're doing spring training and the minor league season, that's 80 plus games at least that we're doing. You know, it's a busy season.
Yeah, no breaks.
Yeah, no breaks. I mean, the off season is short. Usually, typically, we come right out of the season. We jump right into a staff retreat, we jump right into planning and training and on sale dates for the next year. There's not a lot of breaks, like you said, or hardly any. But you know, this year I don't look at it as a break, but I do look at it as we're able to work on the business rather than in the business, if that makes sense. You know, when you're in it and you're in the thick of things and you've got the next game and things like that, you're kind of worried about.
Right.
But we've really taken a step back, which I think will help us take a step forward at the same time in the future. And, you know, there's a lot of things like it's forced us to be a little bit more creative, think outside the box a little bit. And there's some things, you know, that we've come up with that I think will carry over into next year. So it's challenged us in a way. You know, there's a lot of technology. You know, I mentioned a virtual faith night. I would have never even thought about doing that, but we were able to do it and pulled it off. And maybe that's something we still do in the future, to complement our in-person one. So a lot of things like that. And again, I think, you know, there's things like the Zoom calls and things like that, they're going to be integrated into what we do moving forward. And just, you know, it's affected all aspects of the operation, like you said. And I'll give you another example. We're working on launching something called Coffee and Conversations for social media. That'll be launched this month in August. I'll be doing some interviews with some of our personnel, so like some coaches, things like that, but then also some community leaders. Again, something we probably would have never done. I'm really excited about it. I think it will be great. And if it goes well, and maybe that's something we do next off season as well. So those types of things, you know, I don't think they come to light or we even think about it in a normal year.
A little blessing in disguise.
Yeah, humans.
Our silver linings. We've said silver linings, you know, comes up a lot that, yes, it's been tough. Yes, it's been a challenge, but at the same time, it's there's some good things that have come out of this as well.
Well, people are nothing if not adaptable, as we're learning during this time. So that's been interesting, I think, for all of us. So sort of a related question, specifically being a GM for the Marauders, what do you think has been the toughest part in your short tenure? And what has been the most rewarding element so far for you?
Yeah, in terms of the toughest part, I would say is probably with us, and I would probably speak for some of my counterparts in the Florida State League that, you know, the weather, especially in July and August, this time of year is very challenging.
Really?
I've become an amateur meteorologist watching the radar and feel like we're constantly out there pulling the tarp and trying to get those games in, especially in the summer months. So
sure.
That is probably the biggest challenge that we face. And then in terms of, you know, rewarding, I'll go back to just, I think the reason that we do this is to make an impact on others and to try to make memories. So whether that's at a game and, you know, there's kids or families that we can try to put some smiles on people's faces and maybe give a kid a foul ball or, you know, help them introduce them to a player or get them down onto the field to do something. That's the rewarding part, and also, you know, the impact that we make in the community. So whether it's, you know, our staff or our mascot or our players going out and volunteering and you know, at the Boys and Girls Club or reading out of school, those types of things, that's really cool. And I think that's what makes it fun, and that's, you know, it's the impact that hopefully we make on others.
That's amazing, Greg.
That's great. That's awesome to hear. Go ahead,
Charles. Greg, is, you've made it so far recently in the last years. Your journey has been incredible, moving through the minor league system. Is there any major league teams that are looking at you yet? Is there any hopes for the MLB or the Pirates organization to be their GM, or what's the future look like for Craig?
I really don't know. You know, my goals and aspirations has always been to be a minor league GM. I really like the minor league side of things. I like creativity and everything that comes along with that. I also like, you know, we're a unique situation where we also, operate spring training. So we do get a glimpse into the big leagues and things like that. I'm not sure what the future holds. I'm happy where I'm at. I think we have a lot of work to do in terms of, things we can do here. So I'm more focused on that at the moment. We'll see.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad that you reached your dream. You reached your goal. That's amazing, Craig. And that, you know, you get to see some of these players at least that are going to make it in the MLB. You'd be like, yeah, I knew that guy. And, you know, he was in my system. I brought him in, and all these other things that you could say, you know, you're the step up definitely to the major league. And you get a lot of these guys that come through, and you don't get a lot of the scrutiny that a lot of these other major league GMs are probably getting a lot of the time. So it's you probably still get some, but obviously the spotlight isn't on you a lot of the time, which is a blessing sometimes. And that's a good thing, you know, you get some private time as well. So that's really good.
Yeah. And kind of, again, as a minor league GM, you know, it's, I really don't have any say or influence on the team or really the baseball aspect. It's really, for me, it's more focusing on the business side and running the ballpark and running the off the field activities. So that's kind of where my skills and expertise lie, as opposed to, you know, like you said, a major league GM is a totally different role, and their trades and there's all that aspect of things. So it's a totally different role. But at the same time, just, you know, like you said, it has been cool. We've had a lot of guys come up and make it to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. My first year with the Marauders, it was 2016. That team won the Florida State League Championship. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys now from that team that I remember that are now in Pittsburgh. JT Brubaker, I remember, I think he just pitched this week with the Pirates, recently made his MLB debut. I remember him pitching in the playoffs that year with us. Cole Tucker was on that team. Kevin Newman, Kevin Kramer. So it is very cool. And then the other cool part of that is, you know, the guys that are with the Pirates and they come down during spring training. And, you know, we're here for that too. So we see them year after year. And, you know, it is cool to see their journey to go from us up to Altoona, up to Indy, and then ultimately up to Pittsburgh and playing in PNC Park.
That's awesome. You mentioned the great prospects that have come out of your system, but do you personally seek to emulate any other minor league system, or do you look at any minor league system as like your personal gold standard? And then related to that, what are your goals? Like, what do you want to accomplish sort of short term for the Marauders?
Yeah, in terms of, we do a lot of, I would say, benchmarking and also collaboration with other minor league teams. And we've been in touch with a lot of other ones in the Florida State League. We do Zoom calls and do different things. We keep in touch a lot, which is really helpful because if we're having maybe there's a challenge we're facing, it helps to say, how are you guys handling something like this? Or maybe there's an idea we have, but we need to refine it a little bit more, and maybe we get someone else's expertise. So I'm constantly talking to other people in our league. We have a great league, a lot of good executives, a lot of good staff in the Florida State League. So that's helpful. And, outside of Florida State League, there's a lot of minor league teams throughout the country. I mean, and even Pittsburgh, you know, we talk with people in Pittsburgh as well about different things. And other minor league teams, you know, there's a lot of networking that goes on and sharing of ideas and that type of stuff. So that's always a lot of fun, and gets kind of the juices flowing and gets some ideas going, which is fun. In terms of the second part, in terms of goals, you know, there's a lot of them, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's especially during this time of kind of say crisis or challenge or transition that we're in, it's really how do we get back, how do we welcome fans back and things like that, you know. It all ties back for me to what can we give, and I think then we'll get later on. You know, I think especially now, the more we give back to the community and different things like that, that'll pay off in the long term. And if we support different things, then, you know, fans, and we stay in touch, then fans are going to come out and support us whenever that is, when that time is right. And we have games again. So that's kind of it for now. You know, at some point I'd love to, you know, we can always improve, right? So we can always, you know, have more fans and more ticket sales and things of that nature. So it's a constant improvement, and you know, we're always working on, you know, how do we get better? How do we take the next step?
Right. Yeah, it's all about striving for, I guess, the golden ticket, right? The ultimate prize, which could change and evolve.
Yep, absolutely.
Love that there's competition in the league, but there's also camaraderie and support, almost like a little band of brothers that look out for each other on the side. And you brought up the fans. We talked about this last week. You know, we're looking forward to fans coming back into the stands, as many of you heard on the podcast. And now I'm wondering, what are you, Craig, most looking forward to when fans are back in the stands? Are you watching games right now, or are you just kind of taking a break?
I have been watching some Pirates games. It's been nice to do that, for sure. I've definitely missed baseball. I haven't been following much others, but I've been watching a few Pirates games, which has been nice. But no, I mean, you said it. I mean, in terms of, you know, it's we can't wait. We're looking forward to when fans can come back. I mean, that's why we do what we do. You know, it's all about the fans and, you know, opening the ballpark and the energy and the atmosphere that comes along with that. And that's, you know, that's why we work hard and focus on all the planning and things like that, because, you know, it's all about how do we make that experience the best possible and offer the high level of family affordable entertainment, because that's really what minor league baseball is about and what it prides itself on. So you know, we're really looking forward to when we can have games again and have fun theme nights and promotions and fireworks shows and all those types of things. You know, normally you know, again, this is a summer like no other. I mean, you know, normally our weekends and nights and stuff like that are spent at the ballpark for me and our staff and for our season ticket holders and, you know, groups and, again, just general fans and families that come out to a game for their night out or for their, you know, weekend or whatever the case may be. So looking forward to when we can do that again.
Me too.
Yeah, Charles is an Angels fan and I'm a Dodgers fan, and both of us are missing our favorite players, seeing them in person and sort of having that fan experience that we crave every year. So we totally understand. On a little bit more of an optimistic note, maybe, which we want to know, and we don't want you to, of course, reveal your hand too much, obviously, but which prospect or group of prospects are you most excited for as you sort of witness their journey? And do you think any of them move the needle as far as future cornerstones of the Pirates franchise or future superstars even?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably be a little bit more generic and not specific with this one, because, again, my role and expertise is probably more focused on, you know, the business side and not necessarily what's going on. But I will say that, I know the future's bright, and I know there's a lot of guys that were with us last year on last year's team, and really every year that it's, you know, like I mentioned earlier, in terms of watching them grow and work their way up to go from us to then Altoona, and then up to Indy and hopefully the big leagues. It's really cool to see that journey. And, I know a lot of people are excited for the future of the Pirates. So I'm looking forward to that.
Great segue into the future of the Pirates, Craig. I'm wondering, what are your hopes in the next 3 to 5 years in the business operations for the Pirates? Do you hope to see more fans in the stands? Do you hope to do a cool promotional idea? Do you hope to have like a Big Bang Friday like the Angels used to have, now Spectacular Saturday? What's your end game?
Yeah, I would say all the above, you know, you know, these are all things that we continue to talk about, and go into next season of, you know, centered around some core areas of giving back to the community, what our ticket sales strategy and plan and all of that looks like, because the more fans in the seats, that leads to a lot of other good things that then happen for us. And, you know, like you said, in terms of promotions, how do we do something, you know, very creative that maybe ends up on a national media outlet or something like that? You know, that's always a goal for us. How do we get some of that, that PR, and that aspect? So I think, you know, I think again, coming out of this, that we've been able to really think a lot about some of those types of things and, move forward in a creative way and really take the next step forward. Like I said, in terms of taking a step back, and now we could take that step forward when games come back and we can open the gates again. Really looking forward to that and to what the future holds there.
Teams better watch. Well, hitters are coming for them.
that's everything that we had. Thank you so much, Craig, for coming on, and these have been great. If you don't mind, we do your take, our take. Would you want to answer our fan question?
Sure.
Okay, great. So so we'll take a little break and then we'll be right back. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. This is All Talk, No Balk. It's time for our favorite segment and yours. This is Your Take, Our Take. We have two very special guests back on the pod today. Ree Savoy, right?
Yeah.
She's back on the podcast. She was on with us last week. And we have Craig Warzecha over here in the bottom right. So he's the general manager that you saw early on in the podcast for the Marauders. He's on for Your Take, Our Take. Our question for today is, which Cinderella team would make the best run in the playoffs? Which team would you love to see make that Cinderella story run and win it all? So Reese, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, so this shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody, would love to see the Padres make it. And you know, I think that we have the potential. It's definitely there 100%, especially with this season so far. You've got Jake Cronenworth, who is a Cinderella story in himself. You know, this is his rookie season. He's never played in the major leagues before, and he's absolutely crushing it. We saw that in this last series against the Dodgers, you know, and he's an excellent utility guy. He can pitch, he can hit, he can play all the bases. We see him at first base. You know, the past 4 years in the minors, he's been playing shortstop. He gets pulled to first with Hosmer out, and he's crushing it. So I think that him, along with our other roster on the offensive side, like, we've got that down. Our bullpen could use a little bit of work, but we're bringing up Patino, so I think that could definitely be an asset for us. And we'll see how that goes as the season progresses. You know, we haven't made it to the playoffs since 2006. I think that this could be our year. So, yeah, that's that's my hot take.
Yes, the series that the Dodgers just took 2 of 3 games, I believe. Is that right, Reese? Remind me about that.
That's it. But the last one was a close one, Heather. So.
Okay, Craig. We'll leave all rivalry to the side and let's let Craig go.
You know, I'm not sure, but hopefully the Pirates.
Why are they a Cinderella story, Craig? Tell us.
That's who we're rooting for down here. So we're hoping hoping they can make a run.
Who's going to be their eight-factor guy, do you think, that will be necessary? Will it be, you know, on the hitting side or on the pitching side, maybe, that they'll need to step it up to really do that?
I don't know. It's tough to be specific, but I think it'll need to be a team effort.
They got some tough competition in the Central. I mean, a lot of tough competition in there. The Cubs are hot right now, so we'll see if they can get past them. They're really doing well right now. Do you think they can stand a chance against the Cubs, Craig, right now, or do you think they need a little bit more work?
I think so. I think we got a shot. So,
all right. Go Pirates. I'm rooting for you, man.
Go Pirates. We don't want to chew you out, Craig. So it is my turn. I am choosing a team that we do not talk about a lot, or maybe even enough, here on the pod. I'm going to say that the Minnesota Twins would make a great Cinderella story. Obviously, I want the Dodgers to win the whole thing, as I've said every single week, but they wouldn't make a good Cinderella story because everybody in the league roots against them because they've won the division every year for like a millennia. So, you know, that's not the best Cinderella story. That's more a what they should do story. But I think the Twins would be a good story. Last year, they were swept after setting a couple of offensive records in the first round by the Yankees. And in historically, they've been beaten up a little bit by the Yankees and just in the playoffs in general. They haven't won the World Series since, I have it here, 1991, I believe it is. And that's a long time, 3 years less than my Dodgers, but that's okay. I just think with everything that's happened in Minnesota this year, they've fallen on some hard times and some real tragedy. And I think it would be a nice, not fully comprehensive, but certainly a nice positive inkling. And sports always brings people together, at least historically. We've seen that in what has been like a very crazy time specifically for that city, Minneapolis. So that's my Cinderella story pick. And I want to add that for me, like, if the Minnesota Twins won the whole World Series, I wouldn't be as affected because they're not a division rival. I was going to say the Rockies would make an interesting story because they've been hot, but they're a division rival and they're in the American League. So they're as far away from my team as could possibly be. And so I wouldn't mind seeing them if it came down to that, unless they were beating the Dodgers. But if it didn't come down to that, then yes. Charles?
My Cinderella team, Heather, I'm bringing out my team this week. We're going with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, California Angels, Los Angeles Angels, Anaheim Angels, however you want to look at them. Over the last, you know, century, they've changed their name so many times that it's been crazy. Yep. But they need their identity back, and they haven't won. They haven't even made it to the playoffs since 2014 when they lost to the Kansas City Royals. And, man, that was a hard year watching, you know, the Royals make it all the way to the World Series and then lose to the Giants. I was really rooting for the Royals that year. But
you were? Interesting.
I was. I'm not a big Giants fan. And, you know, the Angels in the last, like, 20 years, they've only won the division 5 times, 2005, 2007, 2008, 2009, and 2014. So everybody thinks we were dominant in the 2000s, but, you know, we didn't really do anything with it besides that 2002 victory in against San Francisco. So it's, we need the Halos, our Angels, to really come back strong this season. Papa Trout, he's come back. He's hit 3 home runs since being back in 11 at-bats. Beckham Aaron Trout seems to really be influencing him. If you don't know, that's his son's name.
I know.
Initials B-A-T, bat, could be the next big bat for the Halos, you know. Next father-son duo since the Griffey and the Griffey Jr. did it.
Ah, yes.
The best father-son duo ever. Okay. And I just think that we're coming back strong right now. Dylan Bundy pitched a great game last night against the Mariners. Went a complete game, only gave up 1 run. Shohei Ohtani, don't put him back on the mound, but he can hit for us. He hit a jack for us last night as well. And I like our young talent. You know, we need pitching. Obviously, we need relief. But I think our story with Rengifo, he's 23. We got Adele now, he's 21. And Fletcher's 26. We got a lot of young guys who can really come together. And, you know, our farm system isn't the best, but Adele really helps out. And I hope that, you know, SoCal needs some more love. You know, the Angels aren't really a part of LA, as you said, Heather. Like,
no.
They don't really get included in that conversation.
Not at all.
Even though they won more recently than 2 of the LA teams. So I'm just wondering, you know, why they don't get included. They won more recently than the Dodgers, and they won more recently than the Rams.
Oh, so, pish.
All you got is the Kings. You know, the Lakers who have won since in the last decade. And, you know, my Angels are over here. Just, you know, we're here too. So I think that they really need a comeback season this year for people to really see who they are and to get them back into the conversation. So I really think that it'd be great to see the Angels go on a run this year. I'm sorry, but it would. I'm not sorry, actually. You know what? It'd be great. It's great. I'm excited.
Well, Charles, let me just say that Anaheim and LA are two very different cities. End of story. So,
Angels of Anaheim. I mean, we're included in the name. It might have been. For marketing purposes.
It is for marketing purposes.
The name,
Charles.
Right? So we need some love if we're included. We do need some love.
You know what the Angels are, Charles?
Area, and the Dodgers get their own area, and we're just sandwiched in between. So, Angels, they're LA. I consider them in my home, and I'm giving them the shot this year. They're going to be the Cinderella team.
That's like saying, Charles, the Angels are like the annoying little like sixth grader that wants to sit at the eighth grader table.
That's not even close. That's a horrible comparison. The Angels are
such a team. They want to be, but they're not.
They're the shy kid with the glasses that nobody wants to talk to until he comes out and he's like super sexy and he takes off his glasses, all right? That's who the Angels are right now. So they're going to come out. They're the shy kid. You know, they have Trout. They have a bunch of great players, but nobody's seen them come out and really take on the popular kid yet. So they'll get their time. Their moment will come. You watch.
Okay, I'm watching. I'm watching every single game, Charles. I'm
watching your Indians that you talked about last week go on a losing streak as well. So I don't know about that.
What do you have against Cleveland, my guy? What are we talking about here?
I'm just spreading the love around the league, you know, talking about every team, like the White Sox there instead. So
all about inclusion
there.
Yeah, all of that Angels inclusion that you talk about every week. You're really including.
Hey, the Angels got some mad love this week, so my Angels fans out there are going to be happy. And I think that with what we got right now, it's going to be good, guys. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
Yes, thank you, Charles and Reese, for simply giving your own teams during this. This was a really good your take, our take, and thank you guys, and we love all the answers. Thank you, Craig, for coming on the pod.
Thank you
Reese, for being a regular.
Always a pleasure.
All right, guys,
take care. Reese, take care. Craig, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's it for All Talk, No Balk. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed Craig and Reese coming back on the show for your take, our take. It was a very enlightening episode about the minor league GM and how they play a role in the system. And I really enjoyed talking to the both of them today. It was an awesome question, awesome topics, and awesome all around. Beautiful Friday. We love it.
Yes. And I also want to thank them for coming on, and you'll see a lot more of Reese down the line. So we're excited about that. And we have an exciting interview scheduled for next week as well. So we're going right into another one, and we will leave the guest as a surprise, but stay tuned for that. And our question for your take, our take for next week is, which player is your favorite to follow on social media? Part one. Part two, do you think your team has a good social media presence, and what would you do to improve it? And we're going to talk all about that. So you're going to hear more arguments about the Angels, probably, maybe even a Dodger thing in there, because you guys love it. We love it. Everybody loves it. Talk about Dodgers, Angels. But no, we'll try to be a little bit diverse with the players on social media, because there's so many good ones to choose from that are very vocal, shall we say. So yes, cool. We're excited for that. And we thank you guys for joining us. All the information to follow us and find us is at the end of this episode, as usual. And if you're listening on Spotify, it's in the description, as usual. Share this with your friends. Share it with your neighbors. Share it with your schoolmates, your peers, your work buddies, your colleagues, the person that walks your dog. I don't know. Share it with everybody. Because we continue to grow every week, and we just strive for bigger and better. So let's do this together. And we thank you guys for joining us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys. Take care.